everyone. Welcome back to the Queens of Social Work podcast. I'm your co-host, Queen P.
And I'm your co-host, Queen H.
We invite you all to join us this week as we share, laugh, cry, and learn through our experiences as women of color who happen to be social workers.
So let's get started.
So the signs and symptoms of mental illness look different for people of color. You know, P, there was recently something on social media that said that anxiety in Black women can look like aggression or irritability. I was watching this video and that really resonated.
I agree. I saw it too. I think maybe I missed some of it, but it resonated because I know that, for example, when you are feeling maybe overwhelmed, right? Then you get really short. And someone could be like, oh, she got an attitude. What's wrong with her? Or not. You know what I mean? I know that when I'm overwhelmed, I kind of shut down and close off. And someone can be like, oh, she's not approachable. So it does look different for people. As we know, mental illness is a fluid concept, and really it's nature versus nurture. Sometimes you're born with a certain predisposition, and other times life takes a toll and things can change in your mind and body in order for you to adapt or to cope. You have to really know that however you experience mental illness, you're having a human experience and you're not alone.
Absolutely, absolutely. And symptoms of mental illness as a whole varies, right? And though the DSM gives us diagnostic criteria, race and culture plays a role in what symptoms can look like for Black people. And, you know, there's always talk about how the DSM is inherently racist. We know that, right? Because it wasn't based upon us. The diagnosis, the criteria, all of that doesn't factor in culture, you know, race, customs, right? Sometimes it looks more like one thing than another. For example, in the past few years, depression has looked like people smiling, looking good, being out socializing, and then the next thing you know, you hear about them, you know, committing suicide.
Yes.
Twitch, the young lady who was the beauty queen, you know, just all of those things. That's like a high functioning or high level depression that, you know, people are not talking about. They only picture it as sad and drawn and wary, not thinking that people are complex. Of course, I can enjoy this moment, but overall, I can feel this deep sadness or this deep despair.
For sure. I mean, so much suicide has taken place in the last few years. And like you said, Queen H, you know, high functioning. It's not what we think about. You know, people doing TikTok videos and dancing and doing their whole thing and, you know, being out and about right before they make a choice to end their lives. You know, as providers, we know the value of seeking support and getting help. It's something we've each had to do in our own lives. And at the end of the day, we're all existing in this life together and we're having a human experience, like I said before. We wouldn't be able to do this work if we didn't have compassion, empathy, and emotion. So today we're talking about when the provider becomes the client.
Yes, yes, yes. And like you said, we've both been in therapy, and as a provider, it can be very difficult to accept or acknowledge that you need support because you're so used to supporting others. And sometimes it's difficult to recognize some of these signs and symptoms because it's happening to you. You don't see it, right? But other people may see it in you.
Very true. You know, as providers, we treat other professionals in our work, some of us. Sometimes we'll get a housewife. Sometimes we'll get a registered nurse. Sometimes we'll get somebody who works for transit authority. It depends. I recently had a client who's a nurse tell me that she didn't want her insurance bill because she doesn't want anybody to know she's in therapy. Okay? I mean, come on. But anyway, what that says to me is that there's definitely still some taboo around seeking mental health services. You know, we would like to think that as a result of COVID, everyone has become more mental health friendly, mental health aware. Oh, we were stuck in the house for 2 years. You know, we're now all feeling this type of isolation. We're feeling social anxiety about being back out. We're feeling this, we're feeling that. And people have encouraged, oh, why don't you talk to somebody? Why don't you seek mental health? You know, there's all these applications like BetterHelp and Headway and all these things now where you can just log on and see a therapist. You can log on somewhere and see somebody to address those mental health concerns. But there's definitely still some taboo around, you know, who knows what about you and what you're articulating to someone in the privacy of your own environment. And I would say it should be surprising, but it's not. You know, mental health is going to be taboo, I guess, until it's not.
I agree. I think even for me in my own experience, you know, in the past I had been in therapy, but that was in direct correlation with the loss of my mom. It was bereavement. So it was like, oh, that's okay. You know, I was younger, I was a kid, right? But as I, you know, got into adulthood and I remember being at a crossroads of, you know, finishing grad school for, you know, not sure what I'm going to do with my life, because I had set goals up until then, but there was no goal after, right? So it's like, oh, what am I doing with my life? I don't understand, right? Ending of a relationship, ending of certain friendships, ending of a lot of things and just feeling despair. And I remember thinking, you know, working at the facility that we were working at, because I had just started there, and I had such a rough time. People were not nice. I had never experienced that situation before. And feeling like, I don't want to be here. Like, I don't want to be on earth, right? And thinking that, but not articulating to anyone, but having someone articulate to me, like, you don't sound well. I didn't say that to anybody, that I didn't feel like life, there was no purpose of my life. But they could hear it in my voice and said that, I think you should go to therapy. And I'm like, I can't do that. I can't be, I help people. And they're like, well, you know that you went to social work school. They said that you should be in therapy or supervision or both, right? Like, so why shouldn't it be you? Well, because I'm great. I'm strong. I can do it. I'm the strong Black woman, right? I'm this, I'm that. And it was like pish posh. And I think part of that, that was my intervention. But another part of my intervention was, I was seriously thinking like, okay, I can't deal with this pain. I can't deal with any of this. One of the things that stopped me was that if I do this to myself and I don't complete the act or the mission, they're going to take me to the facility where I work. And then everybody's going to know. Can you imagine the vanity, the ego? What?
I'm here for it. Be vain. Yes. You don't want to end up with them people in them because you know how they act. Okay.
What? So I thought about, I'm like, I'm not doing this off the strength because I don't want to be caught. Like, but this is the thing, right? That couple with what was said to me made me search out and seek out a therapist. And we've talked about finding a good therapist for you, and it takes some time. And that's even a challenge when the provider becomes the client, because you're like, I want to go to someone that knows more than me. Now, the judgment, right? Hearing them on the phone and how they're talking, like, oh, you don't know nothing. I'm a better therapist than you, so I'm not talking to you. Like,
you're not wrong, H, because I had that same experience. I was like, no, thanks. I'm not interested.
It's a whole lot. But when you find someone that you feel best suited to, that challenges you, that you can grow with, and vice versa, right? It's amazing. It's amazing what you can accomplish. It's amazing what you can see about your life that you need to challenge. The normalizing your symptoms and understanding that, oh, it's not that I have an attitude problem. I have an anxiety problem, or I'm depressed, and how this is how it displays for me, right? Depression doesn't have to be the sadness. Yeah, I get angry. And it was my therapist that helped me see that it was easier for you to display the anger than sadness. That's why your go-to was to get angry and you're feeling these emotions on a 10, because that was your protective factor, right? Because if you showed the sadness, that's vulnerability, and that's something that you're not comfortable with. And I was like, oh, bitch, don't be trying to read me. Oh, excuse me. I forgot where I was. I was talking. My bad. I got a little...
It'd be like that. You're right, though. For sure. You want a provider who's going to challenge you. For sure. You know, I think I've talked on the show before about my first interaction with the therapist was a young white woman. And she was absolutely like, oh, no, you're the expert in the room. So why don't you tell me all of these things? Because I feel like what you want from me is like a show. What you want from me is like a song and dance. And I can't perform for you. bitch, what? No, I want you to be solution focused. That's what I'm looking for. Answers, bitch, answers. Okay? What are you talking about? So clearly, that wasn't a relationship that lasted very long. And so she was doing the most. And it was very, and that's why it's so important, I have to say, that you find a provider that matches to you. You got to kiss a few frogs. You have to, you know, make a few attempts to see someone who's really going to match. And of course, as a provider, you want someone who is going to challenge you. You'll get into a room with people who are similar to you, smart, educated, articulate, wonderful, forward thinkers, progressive. You're going to be in a room with somebody who's very much your equal, right? And so there is definitely a hierarchical thing, right? There is the therapist and there is the client. And we often think that the therapist is in the hierarchical position, higher to us as the client. And that's not the case. You know, the client is coming in as the expert. They know their life, they know their story, they know their experiences, but also it's really more about a symbiotic relationship. You have to work with your therapist. You're not hiring a therapist and your therapist is not hiring you, but there got to be respect from jump. Because if somebody walk into the door like, well, you know what it is, you go ahead. No, Heifer, that's why I'm in front of you, to tell me what I need to hear, okay? Or not. Challenge me, right? But I definitely need solutions in this here interaction. And you ain't got none, so go ahead. Had another interaction with a therapist. actually, this was quite recently after a traumatic event. Porting. Lotsa. She happened to be a Caribbean woman, which I'm here for. You know, I love my people and them. But this girl wasn't using none of her skills. Lord, Father. And I was like, you know what? It was very much like, yeah. And the danger in that is that the client can't work harder than the therapist. Being in a therapeutic relationship is hard work overall, right? The therapist got to meet you where you at, and you got to show up to the therapist, because you can't get the benefit if you don't show up. But you shouldn't be pulling things from the therapist so that she can work for you. Come on, I can't, yeah. So also, that wasn't a relationship that that really was the best. But I will say this. I will say, as someone who brings a lot to the table, as I do, as many of you do, as Queen H does, it's important to be open to the experience, because sometimes you really don't know what you need. And what I needed to help me to get to the other side was for someone to listen. And this heifer was listening, child. That's all she did. I think she was sleeping some of them sessions. She was, you know, I think something else was happening, but I can't be sure. But I will say that she just, it was a lot of nodding. Yeah, sure. How does that feel? Yes. You know, and I was just there because I needed to let it off. I needed to let it all out. And it ended up being a cathartic experience. As a matter of fact, when something came up recently, I needed to vent. And I was like, you know what? I should call her, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to find someone else to, because you're not going to get my $80, but I'm going to find somebody else to let that off to. So therapy looks different. That's the long and short of it. Therapy looks different. I would say be open to the process, because sometimes you really don't know what you need. I came in here looking for do this, 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 this. And she did none of that. She just was like, and it helped. That's all I got. That's it.
That is hilarious. But you know, that's another topic in itself, because people go to social work school, you know, study different parts of being a therapist, right? LPC, all these stuff. But do people ever really learn how to do therapy, right? Nobody's sitting in there with you listening to your sessions. Now, if you go and specialize and you go to one of those programs, like, you know, Ackerman. Ackerman, you know, doing psychodynamic, then people are listening in on sessions, you know, CBT when you do back, you know, all of that. You may do that, right? But really and truly, that's not what's happening, right? And so some people don't know about how to engage and pull and know when to be okay with silence and, you know, all of these, okay, how to use the silence. It's it becomes a skill to hone, and that's where good supervision comes in and all of that. But that's a whole nother topic. But like you, I have experienced some interesting things when it comes to finding a therapist. That first one, so after that time where I decided that I needed to go to therapy, I found a therapist. I was looking specifically for a Black therapist. And I couldn't find it because at that time, there weren't all these other sites that showed you who was what and where. And I had to guess by name, reading their name, which is terrible. But I ended up with an older white woman. She was an older Jewish woman. And she, when I tell you she was old. And there's no ageism. But I prefer an older person anyway, because I feel like I like when you can bring your life experience to the process. I like to listen to that. That is very encouraging for me, on top of all the other things that we are doing. But we had the first session. It was okay. I was like, all right, she seemed good. Second session, I had to repeat myself on a couple of things. But I was like, you know, we're new. We're new. It's all right. You're not going to remember everything. We're new. The third session, I'm repeating the same stuff I was repeating from the first session. I said, wait, hold on.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
What is, que pasa? What's happening? What's up? What's up, man? And so by the fourth session, I had to say to her, I said, listen, I'm repeating myself. It seems like sometimes you're a little tired and falling asleep in the session. I don't know if this is going to work. And that's the other thing, is being able to say, hey, you know, what you need. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry, very apologetic. Do you know, the next week I got a text from her son. She's closing her business indefinitely. I think the lady was starting to go into dementia or something. I don't know, because she was old. No, she was old. She had to be like 80. But let me tell you, she always had them nails done and she dressed to the T. I'm not going to lie to you. But anyway, I was like, oh, no, this ain't going to work. And so I had to go back to the drawing board, go to my insurance, get a list of people. And I was like, you know what? This name here, I don't know if she Black, but I'm going to try her. And it was a couple of the places I would call and don't get a call back. Or I would listen to their voicemail. And I'm like, I don't know if we can talk. Just by their sound. Oh, my goodness, the judgment. I got to get it together. But I found that therapist, and honestly, she was awesome. Just by looking at her name, and I went to this one, and I said, you know what? I looked at her locations where she was working. I said, okay, this seemed like maybe she might be Black. That's terrible. That's terrible. But that's how I had to do it. Now we have more choices, so we can see if someone's Black or not and what we're looking for. But she was awesome, and she really, 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 she worked me, I tell you. She made me do the work. She gave me homework. I did the homework. That's the other thing. You got to be willing to do the homework, provider, as the client, because that'd be the other thing. We don't be wanting to do the homework. And I'm guilty, because with my therapist now, she'd be trying to get me to do homework and I don't be doing it, right? But I try to revamp it to what I need to do. So instead of journaling, because I'm not going to write, I'm going to be honest. I don't write. I'm not doing it. I thought I would do it. I ain't doing that shit. So I got to be honest with myself, right? But now they got all these little apps and little things. You got a memo pad. I can talk. As you can see, people, I speak, right? I like to speak. I talk a lot. So I do a voice journal, and that's what I'm doing, right? And that's much better for me, right? Because I could just, boom, hit record and talk. Boom. So, but yes, that therapist was great. And then as of recently getting back into therapy, I found a therapist that's really good. And she was honest with me about taking me as a client, because she's like, you know, when I take other clinicians, it makes me nervous. I said, don't be nervous, girl. She was like, no, but it's hard because y'all be judgmental. And I'm like, you're right.
Of course, you know what it is.
You're right. That's like a doctor going to a doctor. A nurse, you know, with another nurse. It's going to be like that. We're going to be assessing to what you're doing, right? Sometimes you can't turn it off, but I really like her because she's very honest and upfront, and she'll call me out on it. She'll be like, hey, girl, hey, what's up? What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, you ain't got to talk to me like that. Okay, but I'm going to take it because you're right.
I'm here for all of that. You know, I think the biggest things we can take from this conversation is that, provider or not, we're all human. We all go through stuff. Life is lifing for everybody. And it's important that you prioritize yourself by taking the time to look for a provider that will tend to your needs and to challenge you and to make sure you get what it is that you need from a therapeutic relationship. A lot of times as providers, we be in our own shit. Oh, I pulled a double in the ED. So-and-so ain't come to work. Now I'm doing so-and-so. I got to cover. I'm going to be out a little late. Let me skip this meal. Let me just drink this water real quick. We're always making accommodations to work more. Accommodations to do more. As much as we can give of ourselves, we're willing to do that so easily. Oh, this is my job. I'm cool. I'm going to get time and a half. I'm good. Don't even trip. But now you're sacrificing time with your family. You're sacrificing time with the elders. You're sacrificing time with whoever, whatever those other things are that are important to you, because you're prioritizing one particular thing. And usually that one particular thing is not ourselves. It's not the self, the being. It's not about how we can, let me take this weekend or this 2 months to go find me a good therapist. It ain't that. It for sure ain't that. It's, let me work extra so I can go to Bali next week. Let me go ahead and do this extra thing so I can do, you know, and we're really not taking that time. So I just want to implore you guys and encourage you guys to look for a provider that's going to work for you and to understand that, yes, we're providers, but we need help too. We're therapists. We need therapists. We're providers. We need supervision. Everybody ain't got all the answers. So you need feedback. You need guidance. You need support to help you be the best person you can be, no matter what it is you're doing, so that you can help others in your life.
Absolutely, Dee, because at the end of the day, right, we are working with other human beings, whatever facet that we're working with them in, and we're taking on other people's stuff, their thoughts, their emotions, you know, their energy. And that takes a toll on you. And that's not even talking about your own life, your own struggles, grief, whatever it is that's happening for you. And so taking the time to take care of yourself is essential, and understanding when something's not serving you. I told you before, by the end of this year, I have to take a hiatus on doing therapy, like taking clients. I'm tired. And I'm okay with saying that.
For sure. Listen, full caseload business is not happening for me. We've been doing this work, guys, a long time. You'll read in our bio, you see on our social media, you know, we've been in the field for a while. I think we got 30 years combined experience. Like, we've been doing this work and it is draining. You get tired, man. You know, we talked earlier about, you know, the American dream, right? At one point, especially being first gen, you know, your parents come to this country with the dream of, you know, a house, stable income, you know, to live well, to be comfortable, to give your children opportunities, to have things you couldn't have necessarily had or accessed in your home country. And for sure, a lot of our parents have a story of coming in, putting your head down and working hard, you know, work hard for what you've earned, you know, and there's a pride in that for sure. And I think we learned that at home, hard work, you know, so we're working hard. And years and years, man, the wear and tear on the body, the wear and tear on the consciousness, you know, it takes its toll. And I think now a lot of people are talking about the American dream. What does that look like? You know, is that freedom? Is that being able to work 2 days a week and make X amount of dollars? Is that being able to spend more time with the people you love? You know, is that more time to be able to use your creativity, however that looks? You know, what is that American dream like? And I think that as a provider, man, you have to know when you've had enough. And sometimes the only way you'll really get to that is if you speak to somebody else about it. We be in here sleep. Like, that's how tired we are. We sleep. We tired. But you don't realize how much you've taken on or how much you've done unless you got somebody else who says, hey, haven't you done this, and this in the past week? Maybe you need to take a break. Maybe you need to take a vacation. It's okay to call out, take a mental health day. It's okay to do X, Y, and Z because you need to restore. You need to refill that cup. You know, and oftentimes we don't allow ourselves that grace to even to do that. Because again, coming from the Caribbean culture, you're thinking work, 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 and that's all there is. So allow yourself grace.
That's exactly true. And we were discussing that. And I think you summed that discussion up very well. But just to know that you have to take care of yourself. It, you know, it's a cliche saying, you can't take care of nobody else until you take care of yourself, right? You're not, it's not going to be effective. You out here burning yourself at both ends, right? You can't do it. So please go, look, find you a good therapist, right? Find you a good care plan and use it and actually use it so that you can continue to give to the masses in the way that you do. And you know, Queen P and I love you. That's it. Thank you for listening today.
If you guys want to connect with us on social media, you can follow us on Twitter at the Queens of Social Work Pod or on Instagram at the Queens of Social Work. If you want more information on the topic we discussed today, feel free to check out our show notes or email us at thequeensofsocialwork@gmail.com. We'd really appreciate it if you rate, review, and follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening.